Welcome, Saturday Night Fever, live with Dr. Fred Bell's tape show. Well, last night, November 7th, 2008, this being the 8th of 2008, we had Steve Barish on and lots of callers, and we went over platinum, what it does to the body and how it works via the receptors. A very good show. We also talked about projectors and all kinds of other topics. So if you didn't catch last night's show, ho, 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 you better catch it. So we're continuing on, as promised, with the seminar series. What do you think, huh? Here we go. You get it all free at BBS.
So that wasn't happening so much that I could notice, but it does happen. And then, of course, you remember the lasers and the beams. And then when you get to the room centered and the people centered, you know, like it's a lot easier to do that with two or three people rather than 10 or 20.
This is a continuation of last week, and before that it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
All the seminar. White. And when that happens, it's like the whole room is full of white light. It's the reverse of the rainbow. It's like the rainbow recombining. If you notice, there were seven colors of rainbows, and there were two rainbow laser generators there last night. Now you can see up in the champagne reflector, in the top on the left, an entity actually forming. You can see the wings. It's the wings of the angel. But in this particular series of photographs, when this angel manifested, which was right here, as soon as it was such a powerful manifestation and so centered, but as soon as it left, it flew out of the champagne unit and immediately started to go back into another. It became invisible. In the next photo, you can see that process happening as it flies out, because the photographer, when he zeroed in on that, was then zeroed closer on it, and just about the same time he caught it flying out, as you see here, and disappearing. These are the kind of manifestations that we like to see. We've had a lot of different kinds of manifestations in our systems. Quite common in certain areas, like the one that David Tickle has out in Malibu. It's been very often that beings will actually walk in and start walking around in the system and be seen by the people, you know, sitting around watching them. The U2 band has a pretty powerful energy because the lead singer was there one night working with the system when they were working on a Shake, Rattle, and Hum album, and he had a being manifest in the system, and he sat and had a conversation with it. So that does happen. It's not uncommon.
Why do they manifest in the system?
It's a doorway. It's what it's all about. You know, it's like I was explaining yesterday, as we move into this emotional plane, as we move around the Pleiades, we start going in the astral plane. It's got to start somewhere. It's starting here. It starts in these systems. That's the technology. That's what it's here for. And then when certain conditions come up, when the room gets very high in vibration, the walls start to disappear, and the outside sky becomes visible through the walls, and the inside sky generated by the lasers. You can't tell where one starts and when the other starts. And these are some of the things that happen in a system when it's tuned, and the energy of everybody that's in the system is tuned. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you've got to bring your vibratory up, rate up, to see that as a manifestation before it begins to happen. So I don't know how many of you guys saw anything last night, but there was a little bit of activity. I wouldn't consider it a C ride or a D ride in Disneyland, you know, as it has been in the past. But that's only when certain people come in and work with their systems. And a lot of people, when they have their own systems, end up building the energy up to, you know, let that happen. I know we had some other, we were experimenting earlier, I don't know if you noticed in the book, but when we were working with the irradiators with weather control at one time, although we didn't know what we were doing, and we had four of them sitting out on the balcony, and it was one of these days where it had been raining, but the air was clear. The clouds were up probably about 3,000 feet, and we're about 1,000 feet high. And we had the power supplies hooked to the irradiators, and the irradiators build up a huge charge and release energy out over the ocean, and caused four lightning bolts to come down, one for each irradiator, directly from the clouds into the ocean. And then the system gathered energy again, started charging up again, and you could just feel the whole room snapping because of the electricity. And four more lightning bolts came from the same source, but then they struck the beach right where the water hits the beach down there, the surf. They hit that. And it's really beautiful to see four lightning bolts come simultaneously. Then it built up a charge again, and four lightning bolts came down again and blew the roof off of the neighbor's house. And then they started building up again, and we realized the next four, which would have been the fourth set, was going to go right into the irradiators. That's where we knew they were coming to. So we shut everything down very quickly, just about the time it happened. And it was really funny because about a year later we had a seminar, and I was telling the people in the room, it was a small gathering in the room, telling the people they were there about this phenomenon that had happened the year before. And one of the people in the room says, not only do I believe it happened, I saw it happen because it was my house that got the roof blowing off of it. And he said, but it didn't matter because they needed a new roof and the insurance paid for it, so he got a new roof out of the situation. So it worked out okay. In fact, the guy didn't lose his roof. So, you know, you can do a lot of, these things have a lot of potential when you start adding these power supplies to them. Now, the radiators in my house, I don't have the power supplies hooked to them anymore because I don't need them. I've got so much energy up there. But normally, unless you're on top of a vortex, you'll need a power supply. We have a small one over here, and then we have a large systems power supply. You bought one of those big ones, didn't you?
Yeah.
Ask him, we set his system up in New York about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that thing really cranks when that...
It does.
Yeah, when you bring the voltage way up, you can feel like the whole space and time in the system is going to change at any moment. You don't know whether you're going to be sucked into it or something's going to be drawn in. Isn't that right?
It really charges the room.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. It'll pop your ears. It creates so much atmospheric pressure. So the systems are incredibly powerful. The first one that we start people with is the radiator. Actually, going back into history, where this stuff started, the actual principles of the irradiators, this started back basically with a friend of mine who I knew for a while. He's not on the planet anymore, but he was. His name was T. Galen Hieronymus. And what he did is he was working with the United States Navy back in the 40s at the Homeotronic Laboratory in the northern of Virginia, in the Cumberland Valley. What they did is they had these black boxes, which were earlier configurations than what we have now, and they took pictures of crops, you know, with insects in them. They were having been blighted by these crops that were blighted all over this Cumberland Valley. So then what they did is they took the pictures of the insects and the crops into a laboratory, and they put them in a black box. And they put some insecticide in the black box. And each day at a certain time, the farmer would turn on the black box. And as a result, after 6 or 8 weeks, all the bugs in the pictures in the areas that were out there were all destroyed. And it works approximately 15 feet in the ground when you do this.
Into
the ground. Yeah, this effect of the picture, if you work 15 feet approximately into the ground, that's what they discovered. It's real interesting. So you begin to realize that there's a tremendous power in this technology, scalar technology. So what we do is the irradiators, as we just caution you, you know, you can use them for whatever you want, but I wouldn't recommend that you use them in a negative way. Because this is what happened before in Atlantis. And the human, as a result of this misuse of this type of equipment, which is called scalar wave warfare, the human race genetically lost, you know, 3/4 of its lifespan as a result of it. That's what the danger side of it is.
Didn't Tesla do something with it too?
Yep.
Yeah,
he was working with it too.
I thought I saw it read something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I got a question from yesterday. You talked about time and gravity was going to be changed forever during your time.
Has been changed.
It already has been.
Yeah.
How is that actually going to be changed?
Well, it was, it's already happened. You know, events is holographically changed. When you reach a certain vibratory level in consciousness in your mind, in the mental plane, you can control the tradition of all thoughts and the tradition of a particular thought. And if you get one or two human beings that are, have that capability and they're helped by other extraterrestrials, it becomes a reality. And that has happened. What the changes are, I don't really know. I know some of them have to do with the Holocaust, but there's others. The Holocaust. Yeah. But there's other changes that have taken place.
Well, as part of this, the acceleration of time, a lot of it's going down.
There is no acceleration of time. Time is a constant thing. It appears that there's an acceleration of time, but there isn't. What there is a larger dimension encompassing. Remember what I said yesterday about the higher realms?
Yeah.
The higher realms, slower from here. But if a higher realm starts to encompass a lower realm, then relative time will appear to the lower realm to be fast because of the slowness of the higher time that's coming up. You know, and that's what we observe. This change. For a lot of people, time is slowing down. They don't see the speed of this increase. It's becoming slower.
So the radiator which is sitting over there is a device that we use. It has pyramids upside down and has pyramids right side up. So out here somewhere, since we muscle tested yesterday, we noticed the effect of the pyramid this way. It's like a large receptor on one level. This is the point where it goes into space and time. It penetrates at that point. Then it reflects back again and it does this. It produces a trapezoid waveform like this. And each time this waveform crosses, it penetrates space and time again. And if you were to look at this from an aerial view like this, one irradiator, the beam spread comes out about like that and it continues into space and it's infinite in its distance. But these nodes are appearing here like this, like that, like that, like that. Okay? So when this happens, depending on how you program this thing, okay, with this bottom piece down here, Megalor, depending on what's going on in here, will determine what is going on here on these points. And it's like DNA spacing. It changes with what you put in down here. Okay? And obviously, it's directional. One of these things is directional in the way it behaves. So, we use, for example, if you want to go four directions of the universe, then you use one going this way, one going that way, one going this way, and one going that way. This creates a pattern like this.
Someone sees a V-shape, but not with the cross. Is that it?
Yeah.
Now, those pointing outward?
Well, that's the field. They physically are not pointed outward.
Oh.
Two are out and two are in. And the amion is in the center. The reason for that is because you got to realize the Earth is moving from the west to the east 1,000 miles an hour, number one. And so, therefore, there's grid lines coming in from space. And these grid lines, when they're calibrated like they do in England, are called ley lines. Stonehenge is built on all the whole Glastonbury church chain is built on those. So the Druids were quite adept at understanding these forces and how they went in the earth. And so they worked their way, their magic with stone and positioning, where we work our magic with technology and positioning, which makes our stuff a lot smaller and more effective. But they still got the job done, even though they had huge monoliths to do it with. and it works quite well, and it's a lasting thing. So when we space these different things, we work with the Omnia. Now during the, you have a different rhythms of the human body, because the human body is part of this instrument. So you have the 33-day, the 28-day, and the 30-day cycle of the moon, the circadian rhythms. So we program from the new moon to the full moon is the programming time, like we're in now. From the full moon to the new moon is rest. You go into a rest period. If you try to program during the full moon, you'll just destroy your programming. It'll completely neutralize itself. Because any time that you want something to happen and you fool around with it during the time of resistance, and any person on this planet that produces one positive thought and it gets out verbally or somehow or other, the negatives, there'll be a thousand negatives trying to crush that positive thought if they know what's going on. So this is done in absolute silence. The programming, the way we program now is today is to get a feeling for it. We have much more sophisticated programming devices available. We're currently using an IBM computer and a floppy disk and the printer out port into a laser system that modulates into crystals. And that's where our technology is, but people here probably should go through the head first before you spend $3,000 on a computer system to program your system. So this is the beginning of how it's done. In here, you'll have a master crystal. The master crystal is like a giant brain. Remember, the crystal is the Akashic Records, and it's expanding continuously. So a master crystal is always present in the system to hold all the other crystals and all the elements, the elementals, intact, because humans are too unstable. Humans are good for a certain length of attention span, but an old nature spirit in the form of a rock crystal has got far more millions of years of age over the human soul sometimes in an individual form. So they're much more easy to work with and more stable. And what she said was partially correct about the size of the master crystal. The master crystal will be the heaviest single point in your system. If you have two heavy points that are similar, they'll start fighting each other. You get a tremendous negative feedback. It'll give you headaches even getting near them. So you've got to build up to the biggest massive one. You can add small pointed crystals like amplifiers of any weight. I've got pointed crystals up there in my house heavier than the master crystal, but they're not master crystals, they're amplifiers. Now this is one configuration where you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 broadcasting zones. If you go into another system, which is I call the glorified self-help system, which is known as the systems 3, you'll have one irradiator here pointing in. You'll have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them going in. And when you program these guys, you go through the chakra system with it. When you go through the chakra system, you start out with a base chakra over here, actually, which has got 4 petals, and you end up with a crown over here with a diamond in it, which is 960. So if you realize the node points, you know, this would be many node points. In other words, this would be a very close wave like this, whereas this guy would be an old, slow wave like that. If you start looking at that from an energy standpoint, with each one of these being drawn out at a point and looking at the Kundalini flow, which would be going through there if you're in it, something very apparent begins to form.
That's time. That's your time machine, huh?
Well, it can be used as a time machine, but it's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is you're getting into the Dorji itself. And it's well drawn in this Death of Ignorance book. It becomes a mantra.
A mandala.
Yeah, a mandala.
Mm-hmm.
See? And when this is what brought the Dalai Lama to us
several years ago in Hawaii.
Got involved with him.
Yeah.
He saw this on television and he was immediately, he understood it. He sent his monk over there. He said,
back in 1981, long before we started shipping systems over to Tibet, what we're doing now. But this is the energy field, how it looks. And this becomes quite powerful. And there's even systems beyond that, beyond this one that we're starting to build now.
Oh, how exciting. Yeah,
so you get an idea of what's going on.
Are you doing anything with Lawrence Livermore Lab?
No, our systems have been to universities all over the world.
President, the farm race, the one behind you there, I think is the right one.
Oh, this is the one?
Yeah.
Either one of them works very good. They're going to bring a blackboard yesterday, but I guess they forgot it. With chalk and stuff.
Well, one nice thing is that you're free. You're not under governmental intervention, or are they intervening with what you can and can't do?
They don't bother me any. They never bother me.
Their idea.
I originated for them.
They don't have me anymore. They've got other people, though.
No, I just wondered if they would curtail some of your work.
Now this device here, anytime you start generating all of these positives, you're going to have an awful lot of scare wave activity to deal with coming up through your lines in your house. So that's why we have these devices. The correct way to hook these up, Star Orb, is you've got I don't know if you noticed it in the room where I had my birds. Did you see how many wires were coming off of that? One of those hanging in there, and there was a million wires coming off of it. Did some of you notice that?
I was wondering about that.
What happens here is the when you look at the plug, you got a ground here. So if you had a whole series of plugs, you got a whole series of grounds. But you might have two walls, and one series of plugs goes to one circuit breaker, and you might have another series of walls, and these are all hooked to another circuit breaker. And of course, the circuit breaker is common to one line. So what you have to do is either go down here and get on the one line inside your circuit breaker box, or in the case of maybe it was easy for me, is to take and put different circuit breakers and find out where all the different circuits were. I might have a lamp plugged in here, and a lamp right here, and a TV set here, maybe a radio over here, maybe a tape deck in here. So, and a toaster, let's say, right here, you know. So when you flip the circuit breaker, this series of appliances goes off, but these stay on. So the best way is to take it one room at a time, consider this to be one room, isolate all the circuits, and then put the device to each ground. You have to run a ground over to this circuit, you have to run a ground over to that circuit, okay? To get rid of this ELF that's coming through here and all the other stuff. Then you need to take this thing here itself and physically run it outside and run a stake in the ground and ground it that way. Then your house is grounded out. Anything less than that, it's not going to work. And you're going to have problems. And to give you an idea of what kind of problems you can have, when Paul Benowitz was doing a regression on Myrna Hansen, was one of the first people to be implanted, abducted and implanted, her and her daughter, but she was the only one that got the implant. When he was doing regressions to reveal this from her experience, he didn't have... The first time he did it, he did it in a room that was ungrounded with plugs. And as soon as the woman went into hypnosis, the grays started to manipulate her hypnosis remotely. Yeah. So just because she was in that trance, they knew about it. So what he did is he found that if he put her in a screen room or an RF shielded room, then when he hypnotized her, the grays didn't influence her hypnosis during the session. And so the secondary thing he found next to a screen room was to do exactly this, to hook up and ground all his wall plugs out. That helped an awful lot because the grays, somehow or other, I'm not familiar with how they do it, but the grays somehow or other are connected to the U.S. and Russian ELF systems.
And that's how they can tune in individually on everybody in the planet that they're dealing with. Yeah.
I wonder if anybody else is the same as Bob. I'm lost.
Yeah.
I find it interesting what you're saying. I know I'm not going to carry it out of here with me.
Yeah.
Especially all the technical parts in the building, the toasters here, and the kitchen room, and the swing, plug it in, the swing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering what am I gonna get out of all the technical part. I feel as if I'm in a, you know, never was very good at physics. I feel like I'm in a college chemistry class, which threw me out anyway. and it's over and over my head. Is everybody else following this? I'm just wondering, am I the only one that's
following everything you say.
Some people do, some don't. What you got to do is just find and get out of what you can. I went to college and had the same problems. I used to take courses over 3 times sometimes. Each time I go through the same course, I learn something else. But that's what our tape series is here for, to be repetitive. Even with what I teach people, I have to go back and listen to my own self sometimes because I forget a lot of the details. You know, I wouldn't try to. This is like many lifetimes being pushed at you in one weekend. I wouldn't feel bad not getting it all. If you can get 5%, you've got a lot. That's why a lot of people come to my seminars. They'll come 5 or 6 times.
This is my fourth time hearing this, Matt.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my system, do I have to do back connections? I don't know how it would be connected in that particular room, but I have a system.
Yeah, remember I told you before you started that you better get that place grounded out. Remember I told you?
Yeah, just in front of you. One wife. That's all I need, right?
Well, you need to make sure that in your room there, the way you got your setup, that all those plugs are grounded in there. You may have 2 wires going to your star orb. I would test it. And you got a circuit breaker there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Plug everything into those circuits. Flip those breakers. Especially because you got a small room, it's going to be high, like ELF will be very concentrated. Remember what I showed you yesterday in the chart about how ELF destroys the body's ability to determine left spin and right spin proteins, so you'll assimilate poison and you'll manufacture negative hormones.
So
and that's what you'll
ELF
end up doing.
Just the plug itself, not have to come and do whatever you plug into it.
You get ELF anywhere on this planet, right? So it's everywhere. I could have shown you a lot of documentation on it last night, but nobody asked for it.
So you can connect from any angle any angle, right? You can use any angle of when you connect to the grounding wires.
What do you mean?
How
you can run the wires? You can run the wires any way you want. Yeah, I don't care what the wire looks like. It doesn't have to be a groomed-looking connection.
No. I mean from any angle of the.
Oh, you mean where you connect to this? Anywhere on it, it's metal, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just, it works off its surface parameters, so it doesn't really matter. The thing that's unique about these devices is that if you look at the configuration of them, you'll see a stainless steel wire in there. And the reason that stainless steel wire is in there, stainless steel absorbs energy. It's one of the greatest sponges of energy there is. Like, if you want to see what a pyramid does, make one out of stainless steel and wear it. It will do the opposite to you as one of these will. You'll be so tired and drained and washed up and turn you into a dish rag in a matter of minutes.
Why is the stainless steel silverware then? A lot of the silverware is bought.
The worst stuff you could eat off of is plastic. The next worst thing you could eat off is stainless steel. The next thing would be wood.
Wood?
Chopsticks.
Oh, is that what
chopsticks?
You do?
Well, I might get a chance to. I don't do it all the time. It's not convenient to carry them around, but chopsticks are the highest things to eat with. And actually, your hands are the highest.
Hands because you're.
Yeah, in India they eat with their hands mostly. Yeah.
I got a question. What about, like, at our house, behind it's the freeway, and there's these huge. Power line. What are you going to do about?
You're getting new.
It's the huge main lines too that come into town. I mean, they're not just the little dorky.
Yeah.
One line. They're the big steel. you know.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean...
Yeah, you can get induction, I bet you get current right on. If you have a steel window frame and it's raining, you can get a shock off of it. I mean, when you get that much energy.
What's the safety factor? How many feet away?
There isn't any safety factor. If you...
I'm about a half a mile from the big power pole, so I'll find.
Yeah, there's... I'll show you something in a minute, but... Remember, I wanted to point out here, the stainless steel wire takes the top of the pyramid because the pyramid focuses its energy on the top. And all the energy is focused on the top. So all this ELF comes in from all different angles, the way this thing is designed. There's one here and there's a wire going down through there. So what happens is, regardless of where this thing is being hit with ELF, as soon as it gets grounded, it all comes inside here and it's all neutralized in the in that cross network of those stainless steel wires. Now, what you can do about radiation, I mean, naturally, if you're living near a power line or something, you know, you don't want to move right away, you use these kind of things. But if you look at the human brain, and if you look at, this is the gray matter, this is the three nervous systems that I was talking about yesterday. Okay, and these are all the different organ parts in the body. So if you look at, and this is the chakras. So if you look at what this really represents, it represents, at first, an energy reservoir dissipating current down through a spine, pretty much to maintain the energy reservoir. That's pretty much what the basic human form is all about. And when you eat, like we with a lot of poisons and things that are in our system, the amount of electricity your brain will develop with what I would call an average diet that most people eat, let's just say, would develop maybe a potential of 0.5 volts, you know, which might be even high for a lot of people. The next thing you want to look at here is the conductivity of this trunk of nerves. There's 72,000 nerves that you're dealing with in three central nervous systems, the autonomic, parasympathetic, and sympathetic nervous system. The nerves themselves, as I showed you yesterday, are made up of what are called axons. And along the current of these axons, our amplifying stations called nodes and vernier. See, here's the these are called right through here, each one of these points through the human body is a node of Rainier. And you could liken that to a power line with different transformers placed along to amplify the voltage at different points. And these nodes of Rainier are what you need to get in touch with to become what we call superhuman, or to raise your consciousness, or to move into what are known as Sydneys. So you've got all these little nodes of Rainier. There's millions of them, but I'm just going to, for the sake of this, I'm going to draw a few. Okay, now over here, let's say you got half a volt of electricity, and the average person is not in touch with this. So what you have here coming down their wire, your electricity, is a great big giant short. It's like a giant resistor. So effectively, you could say their wire is not conductive, and the wiring system in this kind of a person is made out of lead. Okay, they have lead wires, very poor conductors. Okay. So this kind of a person, anything that comes along, whether it be outside radiation, toxic food, is going to make them sick, react, or slow them down because they don't have any power. And this represents probably two-thirds of the planet. Okay, they have zero power. And these are the ones that the grays harvest. You know, they kill everybody off. They wouldn't have any food, right? So these are the ones that are being harvested right now. But now what happens is, when you start getting into trace minerals like we have over there, start putting those in your system potential comes up,
easily with ginseng, bow tie, and go to coil, can get up to 10 volts. Okay? You start using precursing technology in your home so that your body can rest and charge better at the Animal Mundi circuits. Start, for example, like sleeping in a pyramid, detoxing your body, getting all this working. It doesn't take very long. You know, get your nutritional systems up, get the lecithin and the myelin sheath, start building all the nutrition through the sodium, potassium, phosphorus down through the central nervous core and the trunk. And pretty soon this lead phenomenon goes away, changes over to copper. Now what happens is you don't have a 0.5 volt to 0 volt drop. You've got 10 volts up here, and you're probably getting 5 volts down here at the base of the spine. When the bivolt potential reaches the base of the spine, what happens is these chakras, the central nervous system that's responsible for endocrine function, begins to link itself up. And when it starts to link itself up, it starts to move what's called cerebral spinal fluid up the spine. Okay? This doesn't happen overnight. As the cerebral spinal fluid is brought up the spine, what happens is it begins to network these chakras. And as these chakras start to network, one goes clockwise, one goes counterclockwise, the electricity no longer is moving as an electron would move, bumping one electron through a wire. I can put a battery here, current will flow negative, positive, have a magnetic field at right angle. But it's a bump process. Bump, 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 through ground, bump, 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 bump. That process starts to change. And the cerebral spinal fluid starts a waving action. And you start getting waving through here. When this waving action starts, the nodes of Rainier start to synchronize with one another, which then creates something beyond the waving action, which then begins to shoot what we call radiation to the brain from within. This internal radiation then comes up, and now the wires are not copper anymore. The wires are now platinum now. The voltage of the brain will go up to, I've seen some yogis could probably get 100 volts potential out of their brain easily. The current starts coming up here. The waves, the nodes of Rainier start synchronizing. And when they start synchronizing, the body, the brain generates radiation. The aura field is radiating. Christ was a good example of that. People could sense him miles away before he ever arrived in the neighborhood. When this happens, you start coming up into the frequency of the soul. The soul frequency starts to reach expression and manifestation. And then other people that are on a similar path with lower potentials than you start picking up in their aura field and start feeding back in their aura field. And thus, you become a source for many channels. Okay.
So what you're saying is the Kundalini and the Eye and the Bengali, is that what you're demonstrating there?
No. I'm demonstrating pure radiation.
That's pure radiation, yeah. Not Kundalini.
No, Kundalini is just part of it. It's one of the many steps. Obviously, this is a whole program to do this. This is a program of meditation. It's a program of exercise. It's a program of reverse gravity. It's a program of nutrition. It's a program of conscious discipline. It's a complete dedication. And it's also to spread this, it requires that you anchor yourself into some point of the earth and use the whole earth as an amplifier and broadcast into space. Mm-hmm. And that's when you become a contactee. People ask me about that, you know, how they do that. You have to understand the process.
From the center of the core of the earth up,
yeah.
Direct energy.
In all directions. Yeah. So effectively, you have the core of the earth, and you're one being, and you extend your aura into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you call yourself then? There's a word for it. Does anybody know what it is?
Grounded.
No, it's called logos.
Logos.
Planetary logos. The one who's doing this right now, his name is Sanat Kumara. He's been doing it for 16 million years. He's called the youth of 16 summers. If you noticed in the candles in the house, whose
mm-hmm.
picture was the first one you noticed when you walked up the stairs?
It. I was wondering who that was.
Sanat Kumara.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That candle was lit by a Rajput prince. You probably know what they are. Yeah, from Mahatma Maurya's ashram. Mm-hmm. And that candle's been burning in my house since the house was built.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's never gone out. We just change it. Yeah, that's the discipline. If you really want to do something, that's the discipline.
Fred?
Yeah.
You mentioned about the meditation discipline. It's breathing exercises.
Yeah. I do every day. That's part of it, to keep the kundalini clear. This morning I got up early. I ran 5 miles this morning. I went and took a shower. I did a couple hundred fire breaths. You know, that's my normal discipline every day.
I had 2 hours at the ocean this morning.
Yeah.
What was the word that you said? If you use that, that's what you contact?
What do you mean?
You said it.
I said that's what you become.
No,
the logo.
Contactees.
But you use, you become
this process. It's how you become a contactee.
The process
I'm explaining
right here. You said a specific.
There is no one word. It's the whole process. And the phenomenon is known as the logos. There's planetary logos, there's stellar logos, there's all these different logos. Logos is a relationship to the first plane of consciousness, the logoic plane. You know, just below that is the ethnic plane, and all the way down. This is God consciousness, is what this is called. And everybody will attain it one day, whether they want to or not. It's all part of infinity. But it takes people a long time to realize that you have forever to do this. You don't have to do it overnight. But this is the trick. And it's when you start generating this form of radiation, then power poles and nuclear radiation, that's food. But until you're at this point, they can be a little bit destructive. The main thing to do immediately is to get your personal system working. What our systems like these are all about are for working this part here. Because what these systems around here do on this part is establish your relationship with the earth. Because you do this is the individual and this is the system part. That's why once you have a certain system and you're at a certain level, then we'll network you with other systems. When we network you with other systems, then what happens is you're now tuning into the planetary aura. This is how we overcome the growth-resistant generation. Right? And this is where we started getting into the Andromeda science.
Mm-hmm.
The holography. It becomes a holograph after a while. But it takes many systems to form a holograph.
Yeah.
And that's what the networking is all about.
Mm-hmm.
See? And one thing I forgot to show you last night, but I guess we weren't ready to see that, but somebody was asking, you remember asking about materialism? I have a gold coin that Saint Germain materialized for me.
Oh my God!
He picked King Constantine's time, so it's 1700 years old, and it looks brand new off of clay mint.
How wonderful!
Yeah, he did that. It's interesting. You know, it's things I can show when the time is right. I guess I forgot about it last night, but it's a flawless coin. It's 17 a gold coin. So anyway, this is what. Now today we're trying to concentrate on this, and that's when you start doing the discipline of the little crystal on your head, programmed into the master crystal, because you realize that what's the master crystal? The master crystal is a great representation of the Akashic records, and that master crystal is talking to all the other crystal on the planet that's made out of silicon dioxide. It's very powerful, and everybody's got one in their pockets feeling it too. They just don't know it. So when you start programming these systems. Now, bringing the computer side of the programming in is priced high enough where most people can't afford it anyway, which is good because by the time they can afford it, they'll be ready to use it.
Right.
I don't recommend somebody start using an IBM computer to program their systems because it's going to work, but they're not going to understand what they're doing. You know, so it's better to get the feel for it first and then get into the sophisticated stuff, but it's there. And by the time that you get into that, we'll probably have something else. Because we're getting pretty far out on the leading edge right now with the stuff that we're doing. But it's all part of the program. But now you've seen the big picture, how that works. So when you deal with power poles and all that, you can figure out what angle of attack is going to work for you. Some people it's easier to move, and some people it's stay there and become more powerful. You know? If it was me and I had power poles, well, we have a few around there, but I don't think I would have settled there in the first place.
I'm down below. Yeah. they go over me, and I thought that would be a problem, but now if I'm going to channel energy through them, I've got to go through that individual field. And the effect might cause it to splatter and scatter.
Yeah. See, the first plane up there is the Lagoic plane. That's the one you get it. That's the will. Red. Fire.
But I see the ships going to Diablo all the time. You know, I watch them at night. I lie in bed, and I can see it completely rising.
One thing I wanted to, this is kind of like changing the subject, started to talk about this yesterday. We were talking about synthetic proteins and vitamins. You know, one of the things that the FDA is currently trying to do with the labeling law is to take away your nutrition and substitute it for something that's fake that will rob you. And this is what happens is, see, if they got their way, the doctor would prescribe your vitamins for you, okay, which would be a charge into the bureaucracy. But the thing is, a doctor wouldn't be prescribing a natural form of vitamin. He would be charged with synthetic. And it's in a natural form of vitamin, like in this tree leaf, has an aura field around it. If you put a synthetic in your system, which chemically looks the same, the synthetic wants to be energized. So what happens is, if you put a synthetic vitamin in your body, it takes the life force from your body to energize the vitamin, and you're killing yourself. It's a slow death. And they know that, and that's full well what's going on in the legislation. Procedures now that we're trying to get through, but so far it's been stalled up for a year, but it still hasn't been.
Senator Feinstein is fighting it.
Yeah, well, you know, Ted Kennedy was for it.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, he's a total jerk. And sure, everybody wrote letters to her, fired her up, you know. But it was Ted Kennedy because it was some more, you know,
look at the family he came from. Look at the family he came from.
Yeah.
His daddy started the Federal Reserve in the stock market.
With alcohol money from the prohibition.
Yes, he died.
So,
and then some.
This is a disc, and these are used in your pocket to carry around to energize water or dinners if you go out to dinner, you know, stuff that you can't carry a pyramid around for. That's what these are used for. Pyramid over the bed, I think we've hammered that pretty good. Pretty much know just what they're for.
And what kind of messages do you
recommend? Futon is one of the better ones. I don't sleep on them, but they're better. I wouldn't use it. I'd at least get something with natural materials in it. I wouldn't have a plastic one. You'll be stirring up.
The pillow, the contents of your pillow, that has entered my mind. Like, I'm using goose pillows now.
Yeah, those are good.
Is that right?